of Krishna there. Now Narada will submit his second request. He wanted to be assured that any one who in the future would relish the taste of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan would be blessed with a particular taste, the taste of pure love for Krishna. Krishna was open to give his dear devotee anything he wanted. So Narada spoke, "My Lord, if any person in this world, even from Switzerland, comes in touch even one time with these amazing pastimes of you and is convinced of their importance, I request that such a person gets the power to worship your lotus feet in pure love." "Yes, Narada," said Krishna, "how do you mean they come in touch with my Vrindavan pastimes? What do you mean? In what way they should come in touch?" Narada said, "Well, those who speak about your Vrindavan pastimes, those who think about your Vrindavan pastimes, those who hear about your Vrindavan pastimes, they should get this pure love of Godhead. But even those who have physical contact with your Vrindavan pastimes by touching the 10th canto of the Bhagavata, who touch the Bhagavata, should get pure love of Godhead. And even those who have the great blessings to come in contact in any way with Vrindavan Dham, they should get pure love of Godhead. If anyone is fortunate to bathe in the dust of Vrindavan in which Krishna and his innermost devotees have walked, they will get love of Godhead." So since that time, when I heard this, I have a big thing in where we live, a clay pot, and there's dust of Vrindavan inside. And every day put a little dust on my head, and I think it will work at the end of some life. Once upon a time, the earth is blessed with so many pilgrim places. So he went to Badrinath. He went all the way south to Kanyakumari. But something happened to him when he arrived at long last in the sacred land of Vrindavan. He became strangely so ecstatic that he had to cry and dense with flying garments. Yes, he bathed in the Yamuna, and he saw before his eyes the pastimes of Radha and Krishna going for Navagriha Lila, the boat Lila. He went to Mathura and circumambulated the birthplace of Krishna, including the yellow stone where Krishna had passed urine, which is still yellow from that time. It's ecstatically yellow. And he noted as he was walking through Vrindavan that on many mountains there were the sacred footprints of Lord Krishna. As a result of going through the pastime places of Vrindavan, Krishna became firmly established in the heart. That meant he always felt the presence of Krishna there. But he also noticed a second thing. As he toured Braj, overwhelmed with joy, he saw that the pastime places which he could perceive with his devotional eyes were so overgrown by forests and creepers and weeds that they were not recognizable any longer. And feeling deep compassion for the fallen souls of this earth who would never find out those places where Krishna had walked and rested and slept and danced and pastimed around, he became very sad. He sat down in a grove of overgrown trees and meditated on Krishna. Then, as happened before in his meditation, Radha and Krishna began to appear before him. Suddenly, Krishna was so greatly pleased with Narada's devotion that he said, "You have seen all of Braj, you have seen Mathura, my Vrindavan you have seen Yamuna, you've seen the best of all mountains, Govardhan, and you have seen my footprints on the earth of Vrindavan and all your groves and forests. There is really no pastime place in this whole universe which surpasses that of Vrindavan. I tell you, I dwell here eternally and I never ever even take one step out of Vrindavan." But this Braj in which I reside is no longer visible to the souls who are caught in the great wheel of birth and death. Deconditioned souls are strung upon this revolving wheel of time. Yes, we emerge as babies, we become grown up, grow older, but then as the wheel turns, we are plunged into death, only to arise in another form, with another face, but most probably a similar mindset, where the unresolved issues force us to commit the same mistakes again. You are, however, different, Narada. You are my dearest devotee. I have shown it to you, the eternal Braj. What more do you want? tell me what's in your mind. So Narada Muni had this compassionate thought to give all of us access to the Vrindavan which he saw. For that he needed two things. He needed to identify the pastime places of Radha and Krishna, and he needed to give the conditioned souls a process whereby which they could purify their hearts and their visions so that they could recognize them. So Narada said, "My dear Lord, please make the holy places visible once again." So Krishna said, "Narada, I will do what you want, but I will make an arrangement to fulfill your request. It will be in the year 1531, where I will arrange that you will incarnate as the son of Bashka Yashomati Bhatt, but you will be appearing in South India at the banks of the river Godavari. And you will be known as my great devotee who will walk all over the land of Vrindavan and by my help see the places that are now overgrown, identify them and build something so that conditioned souls can come and see the places where I was present." What Krishna didn't say, but what is very clear from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is that if we conditioned souls go to these holy places and at the place itself sit down, hear what happened there and sing about the pastimes or the holy names of Krishna, then some of the potency of the places will immediately come to us. And if we are a little bit more vivid, we say in New York, then it means a little bit more, you know, entering the secret of the understanding, then we will do kirtan or the holy name there. And this is what the Brihad Bhagavatamrita says, in long drawn out melodies. So this is an indication how you should chant. Not so fast, not so passionate, not so where you can't hear the syllables of the name, but Hare Krishna, Hare, you can join me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, should be room for devotional feelings like longing for Krishna or simply being joyful that, oh Krishna, you are so wonderful. The singing must give room for your devotion. There must be place for this. Therefore, the long drawn out melodies. So, yes, in the year 1531, 31. The wonderful couple in South India, Bashka and Yashomati, but gave birth to a beautiful boy who had perfectly shaped limbs. When he was very young, he studied the entire Vedic philosophy and important Vaishnava scriptures under the guidance of his uncle Shankar, and his father initiated him in the Vaishnava practices. The Vaishnava practices in the south all lead into one practice, that is prapati, or surrender. They read the Bhagavatam with a surrendered attitude, getting the content into their hearts to act this out. They sing the holy names, they are putting a lot of emphasis, these Vaishnavas, on song, the prayers of Yamunacharya as found in the Stota Ratna are recited and so on, but all with the idea of surrender. There's a famous story of this prapati. Once Ramanuja went with his disciples on a, not Ramanuja, his descendant, the one who took after him the seat, went through a forest, my dear devotees. At that time, going through the forest was done on the path which the elephants, the most mightiest animal, had put on the path. And believe it or not, as they were walking through the forest, they heard someone breaking through the undergrowth, and then they saw a wild man with black face and a tiger skin gamsha. He was a hunter, and he was out of his mind. He fell on the ground before this great Vaishnav devotee. The devotee sprinkled water on him and said, what's wrong? The hunter said, I don't know what to do. I have seen something. I was walking and then I had a fat, what is it called, canical, it's like a hair, you know. And I was aiming my arrow. He was a safe aim. I couldn't miss him. But that hair, you know, canadian, just ran to my feet and threw himself down in the gesture of absolute surrender. I was pointing my arrow at him, but then I thought, I don't have the heart. He's surrendering to me. I guess I should spare him. But I'm a hunter. Why can I not shoot my arrow? And now I don't know. Should I continue hunting? Or has this hair taught me something which I should learn? Non-violence against enemies. So when the great devotee heard this, he fainted. He fainted. His disciples, Guru Maharaj, don't faint, don't go, stay. He came up. Oh, Krishna! He fainted again. 3 times. Then they got him speaking, and he said, Prapati, surrender. It's so natural. When the hare saw he had no other possibility to escape death, then surrender, he went to the hunter and surrendered. I also have no other shelter from death than surrendering to the Lord's lotus feet, but I hesitate. And the hunter hadn't heard the Bhagavad Gita. The hunter had no wish to spare the life of the chemical, the hair. But when he saw the surrendered gesture of this animal, he immediately granted him refuge at his feet. Is the Lord not better than a hunter? When I surrender, will he not take care of me? He will certainly take care of me, but alas, I hesitate. So you can see the idea here is the selfless surrender to the Lord. That was taught by Narayan Bhatta to this boy. I should not have said his name. Forget it, please, if possible. Soon after he finished his formal education, at the age of 12, he began to develop a keen interest in Braj and Braj Bhakti. Now one day, this young boy went to the river Godavari and he meditated on Radha and Krishna. And then he had this defining moment which we heard in this morning's brilliant class by our Keshava Maharaj, where he turned around in his life. Suddenly, as the Lord meditated, Radha and Krishna appeared before him. And they said to the boy, "Actually, in this life you have been called Narayan, but previously you were Narada, yes, the chief of all sages, whom I had told that he should restore Braj. Now, my dear Narayan, I wish you to leave everything, to leave your home, your culture, and go to Braj and discover and identify my holy places." This was a little bit, this was a big thing to swallow for a young boy, 12 years old. Krishna said, "And I will help you." And he reached out and he presented Narayan Bhat with a little murti of himself. He said, "This deity will help you to find the places which are overgrown by the forest of Braj." So Narayan Bhatta took his final bath. He said goodbye to his parents, who cried, but who saw the deity and understood that what their son had told them was the truth. And then Narayan Bhatta set out a path of 800 miles. Because he was living down in the south, and the little deity made of stone guided him. Whenever no one was around, the deity sprung from his hands became running Krishna. He joked with Narayan Bhatta, he ran sometimes in loud trees, "Catch me, catch me!" And he guided this boy to Vrindavan. But whenever there was someone, a traveler coming, whose eyes were not anointed with the salve of bhakti, the little boy turned back into a stone. Of what does this remind us, my dear devotees? Have you ever heard such a thing? When the deity walks, Shakshi Gopal, yes. He also walked and he became stone and didn't move. And somewhere when the other Brahmana, who had no faith, saw him, no? So in this way, they made their way up to Radhakund, where at that time there was a temple established by Sanatana Goswami. This was the temple of
Madan
Mohan. Yes. So Krishna had told Narayan, Bhaji, when you come to Radhakund, the doors of my temple will open, and I, as Madan Mohan, will receive you. But when Narayan, the boy Narayan, arrived after a long journey, the doors of the temple were closed. He came closer. He said, I have come here and trust in the words of you, my Lord. And at that moment, a miracle happened. As he was meditating, complaining, as Krishna told him the untruth, all of a sudden, not moved by human hands, the doors of the temples burst open, and Madan Mohan stood in the door, accompanied Srimati Radharani. Narayan Bhat fell down at the feet of Krishna. And he praised him with eloquent shlokas. And Krishna went over to him and raised him and said, my dear Narayan, you are not Narayan. You are Narada. You have come to earth to reveal Braj to the people of the world. I also tell you something about who you are in my Leela. You are a gopi in my Leela. You are dancing with me, and you have the same feelings towards me as Ranga Devi, one of my dear most gopis, has. I listen now. I will give you instruction about Braj. This land which you see before your eyes is not what it appears to be. It is identical completely with the spiritual Vrindavan in the spiritual world. You will be able to see this aspect of Braj. But you must also teach people how they can purify their hearts and visions so that they can also see. So Narayan Bhatta took initiation there. And Sanatana Goswami was not around, at least not in the locality, but Krishna Das, Sanatana's disciple, gave him initiation. And then he found by and by all the important places in the Govardhan area. Please speak after me. Manasi Ganga.
Manasi Ganga.
Kusum Sarova.
Kusum Sarova.
Govinda Kund.
Govinda Kund.
And Chandra Sarova.
Chandra Sarova.
Then he went to Mathura and identified the places in Mathura. And then he was the first one who found and, how do you say, determined the play, the route which is necessary if you want to circumambulate Vrindavan. It's 168 miles altogether, which you can go. My dear devotees, there is no greater pleasure for the conditioned soul than going and finding the routes where Radha and Krishna go. Last year, Gaurahari and his good wife Vaijayanti identified the path, according to an old map, the path where Radha goes every day from her town Yavat to Suryakund to perform the worship of Krishna. And we took this road because we are conditioned souls. Radha goes in a few hours, because you must know the land of Vrindavan is like a lotus. So when Krishna or Radha want to go anywhere which is far away, the lotus leaves they fold together like this. So they go on, let us say, on this lotus leaf here, and then wherever they want to go, the branch lotus extends and carry the divine couple where they want to go. It's almost like at the Delhi airport you have this roller skater. You get on it and then you go double as fast if you are not in a hurry and go also double fast by foot. So we took two because we are conditioned, so we took two full days to go. But we were sitting in the dust, we were listening to devotees who had prepared kathas about the respective places, and we finally arrived after 2 days of just singing. We always sing when we do pilgrimage, and we arrived in Suryakund, and we felt very, 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 very elated and transcendentally realized until we took the prasadam, which was served by the devotees in Suryakund, and then we had terrible diaries and very mindful that we are conditioned so still. But everything else was wonderful, and that was also wonderful, purification. Yes. Many of the places, and that will be my final take here, many of the places which Narayan Bhatt found were revealed to him personally by the great personality who lived there. And I would like to just give one example here. One day, he's tired the whole day already.
Because Radha is the queen of the entire area of
Vrindavan. At the parliament, there's some discussions of ministers, and the execution of the government decisions is where? In Nandagram, yes. So this is just a little illustration how, by the help of Radha and Krishna, Narayan Bhatt, who's no one else than Narada Muni, come back with a mission that Krishna personally gave him, how he discovered the places. My dear devotees, go to Vrindavan. Do you think your mantra will save you from the death? No. Run to Vrindavan. If your guru says, don't run to Vrindavan, you must disobey the order of your guru. I'm quoting Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur. I don't know how well this sits within modern ISKCON, but that's what he says. because when you touch the land of Vrindavan, throwing yourself in the dust and bathing in the dust, or if you have any contact with Vrindavan's pastimes, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, the blessing which Krishna gave to Narada Muni is that you will taste, you will be blessed and taste the nectar of pure love of Godhead. And Krishna used his dear devotee whom he has infused with the Bhakti Shakti, the Bhakta avatar. He used Narada Muni to reveal these pastime places for us. As, what was his name again?
Narayan
Bhatt. He will be relieved from a host of sins, and he will certainly go back to the abode of him. He will join Krishna. So there are a few practices. We want to hear a little bit more about the land of Vrindavan. I'm getting mixed up here. Purushottam Mas. You can. I've written something on it. It's on the Instagram. But a better article even is that of Giriraj Maharaj, which we will find on his webpage. Yeah. So this is. But in short, it is like this. We live our lives by the sun calendar in the West and also in India. But the more spiritual calendar, which has all the festivals, is the moon calendar. So the moon calendar, the moon rises and sinks in a different way. I'm not so astrologically fit here, I notice. But what I notice, they come out of synchronicity, out of the festival dates, come out of balance. For instance, Yamashimi comes all this closer. And if there would be no arrangement to push it back by putting a leap year from time to time, we would celebrate Yamashimi in February, you know, and that is not the right season for Krishna to appear too cold. Therefore they make leap years and put it into it, but the other months began to hate this extra months because they are like, you know, going always in the same route, January, February, you know this, and then all of a sudden, bang, an extra month which is not accounted for in the sun calendar comes in, and they hated the months. They hated the months just like neophyte devotees will hate a newcomer who is not conforming to everything, you know. So the month was so absolutely upset that it came to Krishna and said, I'm here because of you and I'm hated by everyone. What to do? And it cried. So Krishna, who gives shelter to those who are shelterless, adopted this month and said, I give you my name. You will be known as the Purushottam month. And anyone who observes spiritual activities for my pleasure, you will be blessed by me to go back to Godhead. You will be the best of months. You will be three times more potent than Kartik. This is a statement to which the devotees of Radharani vehemently protest. But this is also in one chapter that is there. So, just saying. In this way, you can observe the months. You chant every day the 15th chapter of the Purushottam, it's called Purushottam Yoga, the Bhagavad Gita. Then you can chant the Jagannathashtakam. Jagannath is the Lord of Purushottam Dham. And I thought we should do this. Would you like to chant the Jagannathashtakam?
Yes.
And you can offer a lamp if you wish. And then you can chant another mantra which I will relate to you in just a second after the Purushottam month. So all get ready. We have the thing here. Yes. Can I have it in a songbook or somewhere? Because I don't see so good. Please chant this. This is a beautiful song glorifying Lord Krishna in Vrindavan and Lord Jagannath in Puri. Can I please have it on one of these mobile distraction telephones you call it?
Madhupa Madhupa Madhupa
concert with his flute in the groves on the banks of the Jamuna. Oh, he's like a bumblebee tasting the beautiful lotus-like faces of the cowherd damsels of Braj. And great personalities such as Lakshmi, Shiva, Brahma, Indra and Ganesh worship his lotus feet. May that Jagannatha Swami be the object of my vision. Now we can sing all together. We know the melody now. Bhule Savenam Shirasi Shikipe Shankati Tate Tukulani Prate Sahasara Kata Shami Lavate Sada Shima Pinda Manava Sati Hila Parishayo
Yeah.
self-restrained, virtuous soul who recites these 8 verses, glorifying the Lord Jagannath, becomes cleansed of all sins and duly proceeds to the abode of the Lord. And to finish this wonderful evening, I request you, it's a good to have a lamp, but perhaps we don't, at least, what we cannot do with physical body, we do with our mental body. There are so many possibilities out there. Everything can be done. So those who like, they can do this. Those who like to just only chant, please only chant. Gorvadanadaram vande Gopalam Gopalukinam Gokulatsavamishanam Govindam Gopikapriyam. 3 times please. To the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, who lifted the Govardhan Hill. Gopalam, he's the maintainer and protector of the cows. Gopiyatsavam, he's the great joy and glad festival of Gokula. Ishavam, he's the supreme controller and master of everything and everyone. Govindam, he gives pleasure to the cows and also the senses. And Gopika Priyam, he is the beloved of the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. Shri Krishna, Shri Purushottam Krishna ki Gopemarandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for attending. I want to you are a very wonderful audience. We have discussed with Shyamananda and other organizers that so many nice devotees have come and joined here. So many devotees who come in the service spirit and help in the various aspects of running this retreat. But all in all, I see you are participating in the sessions very, very nicely. I've heard, I've seen you all for Keshava Maharaj, and I've heard that you are coming in good numbers to our Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, highly interesting and creative seminar, and also Bhadra Hari Prabhu's program. That's very, very nice. But I've also seen some of you dozing off. That is to be expected, and there's a lot of service. Please, you shouldn't remember the camp here as a torture, a sweet torture, but it should, you should be able to pick up inspirations. And please, Gurujan Prabhu always says in the Govardhan retreats, it's very important that you know how to make best use of the retreat. It is, you pick out something that struck you, something which inspires you, and you hold it on. I, for instance, will meditate a lot about this point where Rupa Goswami had his deciding moment when he heard the Vachan. What was it? The washerman talking, only a thief, a slave, or a dog will be out in such a unwelcoming environment, you know. So, what this all implies. So, please collect your jewels. Tomorrow is a very easy day. I have been hurt, and am I correct? That's our most Kirtan day. And we start on a light note. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj, our Keshava Maharaj, and myself, we will be there and we will make a question and answer session where you can, where we just come together as a community of devotees who discuss these relevant subject matters and open our hearts to ask questions and receive answers. So I would like you to please already use the time to think about a good question, a vibrant question, because if you come tomorrow into the session and then you hear ask the question, it's almost like, look, what a question now? Oh, a question, I'm thinking at the moment of something else. And then you asked about how can I avoid to quarrel with my neighbor, or something which is also a question, but which has been answered many times in the past. We are very happy to serve you tomorrow. Take a good rest and see you all. Hare Krishna.